in praise and thanksgiving for everything that you've given us, whether that's in our time, resources, our abilities, gifts that you give so freely. We just pray, God, that really we can use these things and give it back to you to contribute into furthering your kingdom. And so, we just pray for our offering today. May it just be another act of worship, God, and may it be pleasing to you. So, bless it, God, and pray all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Yeah, so the video, I think the passes over, I guess, over the break and everything, I had to prepare it. It's I don't know if you guys heard of, like, the Hot Ones interviews on YouTube, but essentially it's in a similar format, and I guess it's just a way for us to kind of get to know our senior pastor, Pastor Arthur, and kind of who he is and kind of what vision he has for our church. So enjoy.
Lord have mercy. I said mercy.
Lord have mercy. Well, today Pastor Tim and I are having wings with our new senior lead pastor, Arthur. All right. Well, we are going to ask some questions to you, but first of all, we need to know what sauces we're having today. The first one is a 1 out of 10 sauce or 2. I don't know. Classic hot sauce. It's just classic. Just classic. The second one is Hannah Hotties. Hannah Hotties. Apparently they're hot, but only a little bit hot. About 2 or 3 out of 10. Las Calientes. Verde. Hot sauce is a 5 out of 10, but it probably tastes the best by the smell of it. Da Bomb. This one, one drop at a time. Keep out of reach of children or your eyeballs or you'll go blind. So this one, though, the smallest is the most powerful. The last dab. It's a tough one, it says. It's a tough one. This one, you're not even supposed to, like, breathe it in, I don't think. So yeah. Exhale and taste. That's what you got to do.
That sounds awful. We came prepared. Obviously, we need soy. We have 30% less sugar. Coconut, we're all about health, so we came prepared with some gigantic carrots, courtesy of Brandon, obviously. We're all about health, obviously. For those of us who think, you know, we need something a little stronger than soy milk, we also came very prepared. Whole jug of milk there.
Whole quarter jug of milk.
We're good to go.
Here we go. All right. Bring it on. Well, the was better your first one.
Yeah, all let's right, start so. With our, it's just a warm-up wing.
Well, I'll start with an easy warm-up question then, just like that sauce. How do you like living in Edmonton? Snowless version of Edmonton, by the way.
Well, I never thought I'd move to Edmonton, because I always thought that I would just stay in Toronto. But there I am. And the other thing I didn't realize was I'm able to buy a house in Edmonton, which is really cool. And the weather's not as bad as I thought. I mean, I came prepared, like, with all the jackets and stuff, but look how warm it is outside. It's actually warmer than Toronto. It's nicer than Toronto. So, and of course, driving on the Henday is 10 times better than driving on 401, because in Toronto I get cut off every minute or two, whereas here, not so much. I've been cut off twice so far. I've lived here for, 4 months? I've been cut off twice, and one of them is by a car that has an Ontario license.
Right. So we're true Canadians out here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
True. We're nicer people and have tropical weather.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, exactly. That's wonderful. I really enjoy it right now. Our family's enjoying it, so we're having a good time.
Speaking of enjoyment, on to our next one, the Hannah Hotties. This is going to be an enjoyable one.
That's great. So obviously, Arthur, Brandon and I, we pastor the English congregation, but you're the senior pastor, the lead pastor. What does that mean? What do you do here?
That's a good question, because I have no idea. No, I'm just kidding. The senior pastor, technically, is the chief of the staff, and he's also chief of the elders. So simply put, I'm your boss.
Yeah, I'm your boss. Well, that's a lot of pressure. So be kind to you.
Yeah.
That's what I should be doing. Okay.
Yeah. And as a chief of staff, my job is to lead the pastors in discerning God's will, hearing God, what does God say to ECAC as a church, as a whole, and also ensure that you guys are leading your councils, your leadership team for your congregations, and also then helping us do the day-to-day ministry work, like visitations, caring for people, leading prayer meetings. As the chief of elders, on the other hand, is very similar, but that I make sure that the elders are also hearing from God what God is saying to them, and then also be able to articulate that to the congregation. The elders also have a job of leading committees that are church-wide committees, like missions, facilities, finances, and all that. So their job is to chair those committees that are joined by others to help them. I act as a vice chair on that team to support, give them support. And the elders also The third role that the elders do is to ensure that policies are written, kind of giving us as a church guidelines to how to live life together. And so, and as a senior pastor, so my job is to look after the staff, look after the elders, and then from there we lead the church together. Mm. And so that's kind of the essence of what a senior pastor does.
Yeah. Speaking of leading, Las Calientes Verdes, why don't you lead us in our third wing?
Ooh, okay.
This one smells the best. Well, I think many people are wondering, though, ECSA, what's the plan then? Like, you've come, you're here, the anticipation was built. Alas, Christmas is over, it's a new year. What's the plan for 2024 and beyond?
To be honest, no plans.
Okay.
Great.
See ya.
Great. I have no plans. I didn't come to this church with an agenda in my mind. It's like, oh, I'm going to run this program, do this and that, and the church will grow, and that makes me look good. I think my plan is only to figure out God's plan. I believe that God has a word for every church. You know, Revelation 7 church, 7 different messages. And so we have to figure out, what is God saying to ECAC as a church? What is God calling us to do? If we figure that out, then we follow in obedience. Otherwise, we're just running human programs, or, you know, running it like a community center and hopefully, you know, garner enough good numbers or finances to make ourselves look good and successful on the outside. But are we really following God? Maybe, maybe not. Right? So really my heart is to lead the pastors and the elders away for a discernment weekend where we will collectively discern what God is saying to ECAC, specifically to ECAC, and then we will put this together in a way that is understandable by the rest of the congregation, and then we will move forward. So 2024 really is a transitional year for us.
Okay, let us get this straight. So you want to take all the pastors and then the elders away on a retreat. What's going to happen on church?
Not a retreat. It's not a retreat. It is hard work, okay? We're not going on a retreat, because you do get prayer retreat, you know, at the end of the year with a district. But with the discernment weekend, I emphasize that discernment weekend, we're going to bring our families and take them away from this church for the weekend, and we're going to collectively discern. That includes our spouses, that includes our children. We'll hear God together and then share what God is saying to us. Okay. But I know your concern is, well, what happens to the church when the weekend where the pastors are gone? You mean a church, an entire church without pastors? Well, the truth is, the church can live a weekend without pastors. And we'll do just fine. Okay? I'm not saying that, you know, for a long period of time. I'm saying that for a weekend without pastors, we'll be okay. But the church won't be okay in the long run if the pastors have no idea what God is saying. Then we're just spinning our wheels.
Yeah.
Same thing for the elders. When I take them away a weekend without the elders at church, the church will continue just fine for the weekend. You know?
Yeah.
But if the elders are not listening to God together and not discerning God's will together, we are in a lot of trouble. So yeah, so that's why I'm willing to take a step of faith and say, let's go. We're going to go. We're going to do the hard work of listening. And then we're going to compare with the notes with what the elders hear.
Yeah.
And then we're going to put it together. Yeah.
Speaking of trouble, Da Bomb is this one.
Right.
This is 10
okay.
out of 10.
All right.
This one you can't touch your eyes with, okay? This is a no eye touching.
Gentlemen, I think we need
children, you must leave the room right now.
We need our tools.
Oh.
That tastes awful.
It tastes awful.
Oh. I got it like right on my tongue.
Okay.
Delicious.
It's like those.
We may have jumped from 5 to 10 in this, guys. Okay.
Oh my god. That feels nice.
It
warmed.
Very
it's actually so painful.
Very difficult. Second one. Wow.
Yeah, oh my goodness. Oh, this is awful.
Wow.
Coconut.
Woo. Oh my goodness, this is dull.
It doesn't even taste good. It's just so strong.
Oh, this is disgusting.
Just disgusting.
This taste is awful.
Well, great. I feel like this is a perfect time for another question. So we kind of talked about a bit about the vision of what we're hoping to do. Bigger picture. What other things are you planning, Arthur? As you die a little bit, what are you planning?
I've been working with the staff, and we have this. Our yearly preaching plan is almost complete. And so, oh my gosh. The staff will preach regularly according to whatever, you know, preaching plan they have. And I come in once a month. Oh man, hold on. I come in once a month to every congregation, including the children and the youth, and I will get a chance to speak with them and share my heart with them. So the preaching plan is complete. I believe that you all should have, as this video is being played, there should be like a bulletin insert for everybody. And then I will also have a
this
teaching.
Makes you emotional. Wow.
I'm very emotional
very
right
emotional
now. When you talk about preaching and teaching, I get teary-eyed, okay? I also plan 4 courses, theological courses, that will be taught at our church for this coming year on Wednesday nights from 6 to 7, and then followed by a prayer meeting. So hoping that people would, and again, that should be on the bulletin insert today so that people have an idea what I'm to be teaching. For example, I want to start teaching, like, what is the theological concept of the kingdom of God? And then, so we deal with more heavy theological stuff on the weekdays. Mm-hmm. My preaching is going to be regular preaching on the weekends at different congregations.
Cool. That's great. Throughout the year, you'll be preaching, teaching, be there.
It's going to be great.
Sure.
If I survive this.
All right.
Speaking of heavy.
Let's do it again.
The last dab. This is just the dessert, essentially. You know, it's the one with the most warnings on it. On the package.
Most dangerous.
Heat level's the most dangerous of them all.
Oh, no, it's getting there.
It's coming.
It's a slow burn.
There it comes. You got it?
Well, I took the first bite.
Yeah.
I didn't really get it, so then I redip. Now I'm getting it.
The redip.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah. It's,
oh, and then it's like the whole mouth.
I think I touched my lips, and then no.
Oh, I touch your lips.
My lips, you know. Okay. Awful.
Oh.
Tastes good, but nothing.
Tastes good. Good flavor.
Yeah.
Good flavor.
Okay.
But yeah. Okay. Alright.
Oh, these are calm. It's like the calm.
You okay, then?
Yeah, I'm good.
This is it. You're good?
I'm alright.
I don't know what's talking about it.
I took a lot of that last one.
I feel like it was easy. Nothing wrong. It's fine. It's all fine.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Alright. Good chatting with you, boys.
Looking forward to 2024. Cheers. Right.
Now wait. It's gonna be good.
All right.
Like that. That was really, really painful to do, honestly. It was awful. I got like I got it on my lips, and my lips were like blistering after this video, and it was like so painful. But it was really fun too. I never thought we'd have to use church expenses to buy Pepto-Bismol before. So, like, who would have thought, right? Well, Happy New Year to you all.
Happy New Year.
Thanks, guys. It's good to see you all. It's so good to be here. Today, we're really excited, to hear and to see what God is going to do here in our midst at the church in 2024 as we're, we have our new senior pastor, and we're really looking forward to seeing what God is going to do here in this place. So it's so good to see you all. So something we're going to continue on doing is we're going to continue on in the Gospel of Luke. That's our plan for this year. We've been in the Gospel of Luke all the way since September, and if you remember, we left off at the end of chapter 8, and we're going to pick up at chapter 9 for now. Luke's a really long book, so we're going to kind of look at it a little bit more thematically moving forward, and that's going to lead us all the way into Easter, where then obviously we're going to celebrate Good Friday and Easter. So I want to start by reading us a quote today. This is by A.W. Tozer. It's not up on the screen, so you'll have to listen. But A.W. Tozer, who's an Alliance author and theologian, he says this: if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop, and everybody would know the difference. And I read that quote, and you guys look so somber. That's how I feel. It's like, oh, that is heavy, right? Like, if the Holy Spirit just was withdrawn from us, like, could we keep doing church? And Tozer here is saying, like, we probably could. Are we, as a church, as a body, actually relying on God, relying on the Holy Spirit? So today, in our passage, it's all about Jesus sending out his disciples, So we're going to look at that. It's actually quite a missional sermon, which actually I think fits really well with kicking off the new year and even having our missions meeting later after this service. So we're going to look at this sending and look at what it means to rely on the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to read our passage here today. It's Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 6, and we'll have it up on the screen. It says this: when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. The word of the Lord. So in this passage, Jesus, he takes his 12 core disciples and he sends them out, really telling them to do the mission that he has been doing. So I want to just, I'm hoping this is a very applicable sermon to us today, but I want to just kind of take note of a few different things and just kind of catch a few things that I think are so important. The first thing in this passage that I want us to catch that is actually, it seems very obvious, but is actually really amazing and is so important, is that we serve ascending God. Right? Like God himself, he could do all of the work if he wanted to. Right? Like he's God. God, like Jesus, he could have done everything himself if he wanted to. But we serve a God that equips and sends his people. And I think that's actually such an amazing thing. And that's really a testament to how much God loves us, that he sends us out to do his work. It's an amazing thing. Up until now in the Gospel of Luke, if you've been with us, who's doing all of the work, all of the preaching, all of the healing? It's Jesus, right? Jesus, he does all of the work up until this point. And this point is kind of a turning point where Jesus is now actually saying, okay, I have been doing all of these things. Now you go. Now you go. He's saying to his disciples, you go and do this work that I have been doing. He is bringing his kingdom to earth. And how does he choose to do that? Through people, through his disciples, through those who follow him. It's actually through us who follow Jesus, the kingdom comes through us into the world. I think that's such an amazing thing. And it's so important for us to realize that. If you follow Jesus, you are his disciple. And your role as a disciple is actually so important. It's so important what we are called to do in the world. Our role, this is like the role for humanity, to do the work of Jesus in the world, that his kingdom would come through us. I think we often have this misconception that as a Christian, we just kind of wait around and hope that God does something. We just kind of wait around for God to do things in the world. But I don't think that's right. I think when we read the Bible, it's actually those who follow God that do good work in the world, because we humans, we represent God. I think that's what it means even in the book of Genesis, that we are in the image of God. We bear his image. We represent God in the world, and his kingdom comes through us in the world. We as his representatives, we actually have the role of prophet, priest, and king in the world. It's this amazing thing that God looks at humanity, and he loves us so much that he wants to work with us and wants to work through us in the world. I think it's easy to look around us, maybe read the news or something like that, and we can ask, how would God allow injustice? Or how would God allow some horrible thing that we see in the world? And I think, interestingly, the biblical answer to that is often, well, why aren't you, as a representative of God, doing something about it? Why aren't you, like, if the Spirit is in you and you are the image of God and you are representing God in this world, maybe it's our job to do something about it, and God wants to work through you to bring justice or peace or all of these things in the world. God, he chooses to extend his light and his love into the world through humans, through us, through his disciples. It's this amazing and profound thing, I think, that's exciting, that God actually wants to partner with his people. He wants to work with us. So he's bringing and sending out his kingdom here in Luke, and he's doing that through his people. There's another verse that I want to read here from the Gospel of John. And this is kind of a surprising and kind of a crazy verse, actually. when we read it. It's John 14:12. This is Jesus. He says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me," so all of us who are Christians, "whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these." Are you catching that our role as disciples is very important? That Jesus actually has like high expectations that if you follow Jesus, that you will do great things in the world. That you will actually pick up the mission that Jesus was doing and that you will go out and do it. We have an important job in the world. And obviously we should look at this and maybe you're like, okay, Tim, but he was just telling his like core 12 disciples to do that, right? Is it just like for the core 12? Maybe it's just for like church leaders are supposed to be doing this thing? Maybe just pastors or elders? But no, it's actually Jesus is calling all his disciples. Literally the very next chapter in Luke chapter 10, Jesus gathers even more people, 72 people, and he sends them out to go to this same mission. This mission is not just for church leaders. It's not just for pastors, it's not just for elders, but all of us who follow Jesus are called and sent into the world to represent God, to be his light, that his kingdom would come into the world even through us. All who are his disciples are sent out into the world. You see, the church, it only actually works properly if all of us are doing this work. The church, it'll never function properly if it's only pastors or elders or deacons or just leaders that are doing the work. But each of us who follow Jesus are called and are sent. And that's how the church works. Many of you maybe know we've been rolling out this new groups model that affects our small groups and our fellowships. If you haven't heard about it, maybe you will soon in one of your small groups or your fellowships. And this is really our way, if you know about it, to do this. That we believe that Jesus calls all of his followers to be an active, multiplying disciple. And this is a way that we think we can do it. This is why we do what we do, because Jesus expects all of his disciples to go out into the world and represent him. It's this amazing thing. So I find that so encouraging that we serve a God that actually partners with us. But I want to look a little bit closer at the passage. Why are we sent? So the disciples in this passage, they're sent out. All of us who follow Jesus, we're sent out into the world. But what is the purpose of the mission, of being sent? So I want to look at verse 2 of our passage. If we could just go back to the beginning there. Verse 2, it says, "And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." So verse 2 there, it says twofold. They're sent out to proclaim the kingdom of God, that's first, and second, to heal the sick. Proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. That's why the disciples are sent out. And obviously, that's the ministry that Jesus has already been doing. Jesus is just saying, this is what I've been doing, now go out and do it like I have been. So I want to look a little bit closer, like, in the context of those two things, proclaiming the kingdom and healing the sick, and look a little bit closer at what Jesus' public ministry was all about. What was the point of Jesus' public ministry? So in Luke chapter 4, Jesus is kicking off his public ministry, and he's in a Jewish church called a synagogue, and he gets up, he stands up, he opens up the scroll of Isaiah, and he reads out of it, and basically what he reads is his mission statement. His mission statement for his public ministry. So here it is in Luke chapter 4. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The word of the Lord. This is like the mission statement of Jesus' public ministry, and this is really the mission that he's passing on to us, his disciples. So he starts off there, "The Spirit is on me." The Spirit is on me. And this is an encouraging thing, because the same Spirit that empowered Jesus for mission empowers us as well. It's the same Spirit. Jesus worked out of the power of the Holy Spirit. So we should be encouraged by that we have that same empowerment that Jesus did. And I think we try to teach on this, but I think there's always a lot of confusion around the Holy Spirit, because I think there's so many traditions that view the Holy Spirit differently. There's some that try to almost ignore it because it seems scary, or some that are really into the Holy Spirit. And we try to look at what does the Bible tell us about the Holy Spirit, and we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and look to Him. I think this passage teaches us a lot about being full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, He says, the Spirit is on me. Then He says, two. Basically, the Spirit is on me so that, and like if you think in your head, like somebody that's full of the Spirit, what do you think of? Like maybe it's like, the Spirit is on me so that I can sing louder maybe. The Spirit is on me so that I get really cool spiritual gifts, right? The Spirit is on me so that I can lift my hands higher. That's not what it says. The Spirit is on me. The first thing He says, to proclaim good news to the poor. Isn't that really interesting? That we often like think of it as like it's really dramatic and like holy and spiritual thing. He says, the Spirit is on me, and the first reason He mentions is so that He can help the poor. Isn't that amazing? I think that's like a profound thing that Jesus is showing us here about the Holy Spirit, that He is empowered by the Holy Spirit so that He can help the poor. This is the very first thing that's listed. It's not some dramatic act, but so He can help people. This is the mission of Jesus, the mission that He is passing on to His disciples, not to be powerful or strong or anything like that, but to help the poor, to bring freedom to prisoners, to bring sight to the blind, to free the oppressed, to find people in society who are oppressed, who aren't treated well, who have gone through injustice, and to help them and to proclaim the Lord's, what is it, proclaim the Lord's anger or wrath or anything like that, proclaim the Lord's favor, right? Proclaim the Lord's favor. This is good, good news. This is the mission of Jesus. This is His mission that He is giving to His disciples. So as disciples of Jesus, who have this mission passed on to us, it is our role to proclaim His kingdom and to heal the sick. Proclaim His kingdom and to heal the sick, and this is how we do it. To proclaim the kingdom, that Jesus offers life, that Jesus offers forgiveness of sins, that He is making all things new, to actually go out and proclaim these things and to actually live this out in the world. To live out a life of forgiveness and love. We, as the hands and feet of Jesus, we live out this role practically. We live this out very practically. How can you bring reconciliation and healing to broken relationships? How can you be a person of forgiveness? How can you be a person that brings justice in a situation of injustice? How can you be a person that brings peace and wholeness in a fractured and broken world? I think these are part of what it looks like to live this out into the world, to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. And this includes practical things like Jesus is talking about, like helping the poor, healing the sick. Right? That's one of the actually two main things, healing the sick. We're empowered by the same Spirit that empowered Jesus. We could actually go out and boldly pray that God would heal people. We can release His healing on them. And maybe you're like, I prayed for one of my friends and they're not healed yet. That's okay. We can continue to pray for them. And also, how can you continue to practically love those people? Like if you don't see what you were hoping for, like a healing or something like that, you can continue to just be in that person's life. Love them. Talk to their family. Talk to them. Listen to them. Bring them meals. These are practical ways that we can be disciples of Jesus. How will people know this good news if it's not shared with them? We proclaim the kingdom both in word and in deed. In word and in deed. At the very end of the passage there in Luke 9, I think it's really actually intentional. It's talking about how the disciples went out. They go out and they're doing the mission, and they go to all of these villages, and it says they're proclaiming the kingdom and they're healing people. And where does it say they go? It literally ends with that word, everywhere. They go everywhere. Where is our mission to? It's everywhere. That's why we're going to Cambodia in June, right? We want to go everywhere to bring this good news. That includes in our own society. Are there people in our society, even here in Edmonton, that maybe wouldn't have the opportunity to know Jesus quite as well, or people who have faced a lot of adversity? How can we go everywhere with this good news? So Jesus, he's sending out his kingdom, and he's doing it through people. It's an amazing, amazing thing. So obviously, if we just pause, this passage is very missional, right? And it's very like obviously he's sending them out on a mission, and we have to look at this and like, Jesus, he sends us out on a mission. But if we're being honest, that's kind of scary, right? For myself, even like reading about this and thinking about this and thinking about like boldly going out into the world, that's kind of scary, right? And I'm sure a lot of you can understand that. It's a scary thing. It's very easy to feel maybe underprepared. Maybe you're like, you're hearing this and you're like, well, I'm not qualified. Like, yeah, I follow Jesus, but I'm not qualified to do that, right? It can be a scary thing. Maybe you're like, oh, I'm not a good enough Christian to do that yet, or something like that. It's really easy for us to feel unqualified to go out and do the work of Jesus. Maybe you've even just led a ministry, and that can be really, really intimidating. I understand that. It can be a really scary thing. Maybe you're thinking about telling a friend about Jesus, even something like that, and it's just kind of this scary, intimidating thing. Something I want to notice, if you saw it in the passage in Luke 9, is that Jesus, he does something very odd. He does something very odd that he looks at his disciples, who he's sending out on mission, and he deliberately makes sure they're unprepared. He does. It's so odd. Jesus, he looks at them as he's sending them out to do a mission, and he makes sure that they are unprepared. He is sending them on a journey that's going to be many days long, and they have to travel to places they've never been. And Jesus looks at his disciples, and he says, don't take anything with you. He says, don't take your staff with you, which is always like a walking staff, but they'd use that for protection. Don't bring your protection. Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, don't take your bag. Don't take food. Don't take extra clothes. And he says, and don't even take any money. Jesus, he looks at his disciples as he's sending them out there in Luke chapter 9, and he deliberately makes sure that they're underprepared. Isn't that strange? Jesus is making sure and giving his disciples no choice but to rely completely on him. He's giving them no choice but to rely completely on him. When I read that, and I imagine going on a journey without any of those things, that freaks me out. Like I like having things. Like, if I'm going on a trip, I love having my bag packed, ready to go, you know? You have it all ready. It's like a comfort. I think that's for a lot of us. I like to feel prepared to go. I like to have these things. It's really uncomfortable not to. And obviously, I don't think Jesus is teaching that these things are bad, right? Like, if you're thinking of going to Cambodia, please pack extra clothes and stuff, you know? I don't think Jesus is teaching these are bad, but do we rely a little bit too much on things that aren't Jesus? Do we rely a little bit too much on things other than Jesus? If we're being completely honest, I think it would be so easy for a church like ours that has very capable people, we have a lot of resources. If we're being honest, I think it would be very easy for us to run a ministry, to run an outreach event, or something like that, without relying on God at all. I really believe that we would be capable of doing that, and that's kind of a scary thing. That's kind of a scary thing. Are we actually being careful about that? Are we carefully listening to God and saying, God, we give all that we have up to you, and we want to rely on you? And then maybe that looks like listening. Where are you leading us, God? Because we actually have to be very intentional, I think, when we do have resources and capable people, we do have to be careful to actually intentionally rely on the Holy Spirit. We actually have to be intentional about that. We have to actually pause and not just use the great resources we have, but actually ask God where He is leading us. And that can be a scary thing. That can be a scary thing. When we do that, maybe then we would start to feel a little bit underqualified, underprepared, underfunded maybe. But how does God equip us? How does God equip us? Well, if you look back in that passage in Luke chapter 9, it says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. So these disciples, they don't have money, they don't have power, they don't have the comforts that they wanted to have, they don't even have their bag with their spare clothes, they don't have all of these things, but they have God's presence, and they're equipped with power and authority. They're equipped with power and authority. I love that it says Jesus calls the 12 together. And it's a lot like that for us. Jesus, He calls us to Himself. We encounter Him, He equips us, and He sends us out into the world. We have this. It's not just the 12. We, as we go out into the world, are equipped with this power and with this authority. There's this really interesting verse later in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24. Where Jesus, he died on the cross and He rose from the grave. He's been resurrected. And this is right before He ascends up into heaven. He's with His disciples. He's with His disciples, and His disciples have seen the risen Jesus. So obviously, they're going to want to go out and start the church, right? They're going to want to go out and start the church and start telling people Jesus rose from the dead. This is what Jesus says to them, though. He says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. What He means by that is until you have the Holy Spirit, who He's going to send shortly. But Jesus, He looks at His disciples who have all of the knowledge. They know that Jesus has risen from the grave. They know what the cross represents. They have all of this knowledge, and they know it, and I'm sure they could try to go out and start the church, but Jesus looks at them, and He says, wait. Jesus looks at them and says, if you're not relying on the Holy Spirit, don't even try to go out into the world and do mission. If you're not relying on the Holy Spirit, don't go start the church. If you're not relying on the Holy Spirit, don't even go try to be a nice person out into the world. Don't even leave this place. Wait. Don't do anything unless you're relying on the Holy Spirit. It is so important for us to be intentional on relying on God. And looking a little more, I have this verse up here, just that we are equipped with the power and the authority of Jesus as we go out. Ephesians 2:6 says this, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. We who follow Jesus have authority as we are seated with Him in the heavenly realms. We don't just go out in our own weakness, but we go out equipped by God. He is with us as we rely fully on Him. We are sent out into the world. All of us. I hope you're getting this, right? This is a message about sending. We are sent out into the world. Each of us who follow Jesus, we are all sent out to be His light and to be His love. And I hope that this is actually encouraging to you. I hope it's encouraging to you that God actually wants to work with you and through you. If you follow Jesus, you are sent out. Even today, you are sent out. It's like today we have gathered together and encountered God, and as you go, you are being sent out as an embodiment of life and love and an embodiment of God into the world to share His love and His life and His forgiveness, to embody Him and to proclaim and live out His kingdom, to heal the sick, to live like Jesus did, helping the marginalized and the poor. We are sent out to proclaim Him. If you follow Jesus, you personally are being sent out. And you have a purpose. You are empowered with the same authority that Jesus carried. And I hope that, because obviously it's still a scary thing, right, to be sent out into the world. But I hope that it helps to read that we are empowered by this authority that the disciples were given as well, that we have his Spirit with us to love those around us and to make disciples. So for all of us, we are fully equipped with the Holy Spirit. We are empowered by God, and we need to rely on him as we go out. So I want to take some time just kind of quietly pray on this, because I think that that's kind of a challenging thing, to actually start to imagine yourself as one who is sent out into the world to represent God in his life. So let's just close off with a minute of prayer. So God, we just thank you that you are love and that you are light and that you choose to work with us and through us. God, right now, would you maybe be showing us how we can go out into the world and what that would look like for us to be sent? God, where are you leading us into the world to represent your love and your life? God, would you help us to rely on you? Would you help us to trust in you and look to you in all things? We love you and we thank you. Amen. So I hope that you can maybe take some time to just reflect on that. If you're being sent out into the world, what does it look like for you to be a representative of God in the world? For him to work through you in the world? And maybe you even need to reframe how you think, that you are equipped and that God is with you as you go. So we're going to have one last response song from Ernest.
All right. Let's rise. So this song is, we sang it earlier today. You learned it for the first time. We sang it 30 years ago, the old ECAC. It's meant to encourage you. If you are feeling called to be set, keep your eyes on the Lord, because that's where your strength will come from. Or let's sing the song. You shine. Why should I fear, man, when you made the heavens? Why should I be afraid when you put the stars in place? Why should I lose heart when I know how great you are? Why should I give up when your plans are full of love? In this world we will have trouble, but you have overcome the world, 'cause you be afraid when you put the stars in place. Why should I lose heart when I know how great you are? Why should I give up when your plans are full of love? In this world we will have trouble, but you have overcome the world, 'cause you shine brighter than the brightest star. Your love purer than the purest heart. You shine, filling us follow you. I want to follow you.
Well, as our benediction today, I want to pray over you from the book of Ephesians. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen and amen. Well, I send you out here today in the name of Jesus. It's so good to worship here with you all today. We'll see you next week.